self-image. We will never do it. Whether it's weight, and Bob will go over this in detail, whether it's income, whether it's relationships, no matter what it happens to be, our image is the governor that sets the boundaries of performance in each and every area of our life. Our image. Now think about this. I want you to imagine for a moment, I want you to go way back to when Socrates was teaching. Now Socrates taught much, but he wrote very little. Plato took what he learned from Socrates, and he put it into words, and we were all the benefactors of the work of Socrates. So Socrates decided that he was going to try to use an analogy to teach people something about this governor, about this concept, about this belief system, this idea, this image of self, and how it controls all the performance in each person's life. And this is the way he was able to do it. He said, I want you to imagine all these prisoners in an underground den. He said, they have been there since birth, and they're all lined up beside one another. He said, they're chained at the neck, they're chained at the feet, and they're chained at the hands to one another, and they all stand in an even line. They can sit, they can stand. They can turn their head each way. They can take a step this way and a step that way, but that is the extent of it. Which is symbolic to mean that many of us stand on what is called this 50-yard line of life, afraid to go for the goal because we might miss. We don't want to go too far back because we might fail. We don't seem to understand that it's got something to do with the concept or the image we hold of us. He said, now, I want you to imagine that they have never, ever laid eyes on human life. Because the cave is dark, they cannot see one another. Now, he said, in front of all of them, there is a big wall from which shadows are moving back and forth. And he said, from these shadows, there are voices coming as though they're coming right from the shadows directly to the prisoners in this underground den. Are you with me? Now he said, the shadows and the voices are coming from one area of the den. Way back behind these prisoners, there are people walking back and forth, unaware of the prisoners further in the den. And he said, what they are people coming in from the ocean, going up through a cave, carrying treasures from their ships that they took at sea. And as they walk, they walk by a flaming fire, and as they do, their shadows bounce off the wall of the den and come back at the prisoners who are staring at the wall. And as they speak, their voices travel, and they echo from the wall, so it would appear that the voices and shadows on the wall of the den to the prisoners is real. They have no knowledge of what's going on at the back. Now, I want you to imagine that one day, the chains break away from the one prisoner standing at the end of this line. I want you to picture that. He's standing here, and the shackles fall from the prisoner. As they fall from him, he looks and he sees a light coming down from the surface of the den, coming out in the shape of an elbow directly in the area he is looking. Now, since all of us, you and I, since all of us are motivated to move in the direction of the light, in other words, every single person in this room is genetically structured to grow, to move in the direction of a light. You put a potato in a cellar, and that potato will grow in the direction of any kind of light coming through to it. Well, this prisoner spots the light and begins to move in that direction. Don't you think that as he begins to move, there would be some apprehension of some kind? And as he gets close to the light, he puts his head into that elbow and he looks up and he experiences the entire spectrum of light to the point it almost blinds him. It's overwhelming. But again, being genetically structured to continue to move in the direction of the light, he begins to climb.